We bring you greetings in the name of our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As we have gathered together here, I do want to express my appreciation for the prayers of our brother and each one of you on our behalf as we look into this series, Prophecy and the Second Coming of Christ. Brother mentioned the last time I was here, I was on practical things. This series will be a little more sobering, but we trust it'll move our hearts to greater intimacy with the Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ. Because some of the topics are heavy. It's not the kind of the topic the next 4 weeks that's going to tickle your funny bone. The topics we're looking forward to try to cover by the Lord's help under prophecy and the second coming of Christ, there will be handouts given. I would encourage you to bring them back with you. There's all of them are stapled together, so it's not night by night. The framework of prophecy, fulfilled prophecy, current events in prophecy, Israel and Jerusalem in prophecy, the United States in prophecy, power structures in prophecy, Christ's words on prophecy, key elements yet future in prophecy, confidence and hope because of prophecy. And the last one I added, if time permits, God's unfolding plan for the church, moving from testing to trophies of His grace. In trying to prepare thoughts, there's a little illustration here, which as I hold this up, does this make sense to each one of you as you look at the characters? Does this make a difference? That's a little bit the way prophecy is. For some people, it's extreme interest. Others, it's a little scary. For others, they stay clear of it because of some of the divided opinions on the subject. Yet Scripture does tell us, blessed are those that read. Scripture also tells us that it is the means to study tomorrow's news for warnings and encouragement. Where are we headed? How will we get there? How far are we along? As I consider this, I know, beloved brethren, we may not all agree on some of the details. Apostle Paul even says, even now there in 1 Corinthians 13, we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. We shall know even as we are also known. Proverbs also warns us, only by pride cometh contention. Prophecy was never given to divide the believers of the body of Christ. Prophecy was given to encourage your hearts. God has moved to challenge all false religions of the world in a way they cannot match him, to foretell the future with precision because he holds the future in his hands. The scripture our brother read tonight, taken there out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we catch a glimpse into Paul's heart as he is encouraging the believers. We are not of the night. We are not of the darkness. We are of the light and of the day. Another place Paul writes, I would not have you to be ignorant of the times and seasons, brethren. We are told another place, we are to exhort one another, even more so as we see the day approaching. I believe God wants us to discern the times. He chided the scribes and Pharisees in his day. You can tell the signs of the weather, but you have no comprehension to discern the movings of God in your midst. They totally missed it. Is it the lack of capability? Is it the lack of fervency in seeking. We need to be careful as we look, even at the study of prophecy, that we do not force Scripture to fit current events. About 35 years ago, there was a strong feeling among many believers we were coming into those final days as the 10th member of the European Union was about ready to join Greece. Well, those times have come and gone. Now we have bypassed that and are up in about the mid-20s. We were not on target for those who thought it was about over back there in 1980. But there are things that have happened in the last 15 years that Christians need to be alert to. Things are happening in the current events about us and in the things you're not being told. And God wants us to know His Word, that as this little illustration I just showed of you of these characters, our focus needs to be able to comprehend what's coming down the road. How far are we along? We will be touching on various aspects. To begin with, in the first segment this evening, the framework of prophecy, I would like just to encourage your hearts in how accurate God's Word is. So precise. And as you get the copies of the notes that I guess will be handed out, you'll see I may not cover everyone line item by line item, but I think the young men are sharing them right now. But we trust it'll give you something to review. And as they hand them out, I'd just like to say this. I have appreciated the diligence of those who have researched prophecy down through the centuries. It is interesting comparing the notes of what people have seen and sensed. Back about 75 years ago, one person through prophecy had pretty well put together the coalition of the Russian nation and so on, simply from Bible prophecy. Others tried to, in their best attempts, to figure out who the Antichrist was. Those times have come and gone, so we are still watching. There are those who have been off on the limb, setting precise dates and times, which he had to retract. But on the same hand, it seemed like God wants us to trust Him as one who loves us so intimately. He wants to share His secrets with us. In Isaiah 42:9, we are told, "Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them." Isaiah 46:9. Again, God's servant writes, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there's none else. I am God and there's none like me." Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, those things that have not yet been done, saying, "My counsel shall stand, I will do all my pleasure." God is challenging people that His precision of when He speaks can absolutely be trusted. As we look at the willingness to share innermost feelings, Amos 3:7 says, "Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but He revealeth His secret unto His servants, the prophets." What He is basically saying, God desires to share His heart with those who are in intense earnestness to draw nigh to Him, to become channels for Him to use, to strengthen the hearts of the believers and to warn the lost of their ultimate destruction. As we look at a few things that God has done with His being total control, again, the motivation of our heart should be, as Revelation says, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. When we deal with the subject of prophecy, it should be to exalt our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, never to exalt our own ego. If we are wrong, let us be humble enough to admit, I see new understanding today I did not see 10 or 15 or 20 years ago. That's not a sign of weakness. That's a sign of humility. My prayer is, and I believe what God will do as we approach these last days, we will see the believing church more and more coming towards a unanimous understanding of what God has in store. We're not there yet. As we look at the keys to understanding prophecy, I think it's interesting as we look at a few of these areas. If you have your notes now under D, keys to understanding prophecy, I'd like you to turn with me to Job 33, verse 14 to 16. There's some keys to understanding prophecy that makes a large difference in our ability to grasp what is being said. And we will be breaking that down more as these sessions go along. Job speaks about in 33, verse 14 through 16, he speaks about, for God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, in slumberings upon the bed, then he openeth the ears of men and sealeth their instruction. That idea of God speaking twice is the idea prophecy has near and far applications. Prophecy has shadows and types. As we learn to see through the eyes of our Heavenly Father, we start to realize there's not a one single application, but multiple applications, but one final complete one. And that's where we start to understand the movings of God. When Christ talked about Elijah, he has already come. Yet we are told Elijah will come before the great and terrible day of the Lord. One application already was past tense with John the Baptist. The other application, future tense. We are told as we look at various areas. We look at the situation of the king of Tyre. Judgment given. Also an insight into the fall of Lucifer. We look at the applications of the feast of the Lord. Shadows and types. Christ's first coming fulfilled precision is shadows and types. Are we familiar with the shadows and types of the fall feast yet to be fulfilled? We'll touch on that a little bit more in a later session. As we look at these various things and begin to understand more of the heart of God, it starts to make more sense. When things do not fit, and it seems like we're forcing the pieces into the jigsaw puzzle, we don't have everything yet where it belongs. And I have to admit myself, I have changed my position on some issues in the last 12 years. Scripture will fit precisely. How many of us could have put it together in Christ's first coming? The insights given by the various prophets on who this coming Messiah was going to be and his work, most missed it. Were the prophecies incomplete or not precise? No. They were difficult to put together. Even so, the second coming of Christ. But God has given such a huge array of insights through the minor and major prophets, through the Gospels, through John the Revelator, through Apostle Paul, all networking perfectly together to reveal what he plans to do in the future. Again, we only see and know in part. And I'm going to invite you at times to share your thoughts as we go along here. I can learn from you. Maybe I can give you a few things you can learn from some of my research. But the heart of it ought to be to draw our hearts nigh unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Are there any thoughts at this point that anybody wants to share? One-fourth of Scripture is prophecy. Do you see how we show disfavor to the Word of God if we suddenly say, I have no interest in prophecy? It's like taking a knife and slicing out one-fourth of the content. If we say it's too sensational, it's because the motivation is not pure of the one sharing. God promises a special blessing to those who are willing to read it. As we look at some of these types and shadows, again, just to give you a glimpse, there in the notes, item D7, it says, after 2 days will he revive us, and the third day he will raise us up, out of Hosea 6:2. And then also in Matthew 17:1 and 2, it says, after 6 days Jesus taketh them up into a high mountain and was transfigured before them. What are some applications of those shadows and types? Scriptures often say from God's perspective, 1,000 years is equal to 1 day. If you look at the first one in Hosea 2, after 2 days he will revive us. If you're looking at Christ's first coming when he came as a meek and lowly lamb, after 2,000 years approximately, he will revive permanently. If you look after 6 days, some translation says early on the seventh, Jesus was taken up into a high mountain, was transfigured. Any potential shadow application that approximately in the beginning of the 7,000 years would be potentially the beginning of his millennial reign. When we start to look at Scripture and start to realize the applications are so manifold, but they dare never contradict others if we have a right application. When we look at a Jewish calendar, and I was kind of perplexed. Their calendar's nowhere near 6,000, anything like that. But I noticed in some of my readings, Grant Jeffries did a good job in research and identified two areas where the Jewish calendar is off. And it's in the notes here. They had the wrong number of days between two Jewish temples, and it was a copyist error coming out of the Septuagint on a genealogy back there in the Genesis 5. Again, as we look at issues that do not seem to fit, someone has not done all their homework. In Daniel chapter 12, it talks about sealing up the book until the time of the end, the knowledge shall be increased. And the feeling is it can apply the total human knowledge, which Jay said a few years ago was doubling every 22 months. But I believe also an application of that is the human interest into prophetic scriptures will mushroom as things are coming together. Are the thoughts? Daniel 12, verse 10, speaks about many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And I like the application of one who researched the meaning behind a few of those words. Daniel 12, 10, if you read it with this kind of explanation of the words being used, many things shall be clarified and made plain and understood, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall. We begin to see that the heart of God is not to leave us in the darkness, but to introduce us to the daylight of understanding. As we look at some other fulfilled prophecies, just to show the precision of God's word, those who are familiar with the Jewish calendar realize whenever a date, the day of the month is not mentioned, it automatically defaults to the first day of the Jewish month. When you count in the Jewish years, you always use 360 days. The Jewish understanding is built on the lunar month, which is your moon cycles. They add the 13th month every time it's necessary to keep their seasons in focus. But when you start using the Jewish understanding and calculations, you get a precision that is amazing how it fits. When Scripture said there in Exodus, that God would free him from slavery. And let's just flip to Exodus 12, verse 40 and 41. Exodus 12, 40 to 41. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years, and it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, the 24-hour day, to fulfill the length of time that God said they'd be in captivity, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. We are given a similar situation like that on the 70-year captivity, the selfsame day. If you want to do a little calculation, you can follow that in Daniel 1 and Ezra 1, 1 to 3. That it was exactly to the 24-hour day. That's why when you look at scriptures, Israel is given such precise information. And later on in the sessions, we will look at the feasts of the Lord in the fall and a very interesting application of the precision of days of Daniel 12, the latter part, where he talks about 30 and 45 days, and adding in the shadow and types of the fall feasts, which you can come up with. Christ coming to Jerusalem was foretold to the day. Another person has done research. The judgments given in Leviticus 26 talks about four times God warned through Moses the children of Israel, if my judgments and chastisements do not work, I will multiply sevenfold the implications. When you look at Ezekiel, there about chapter 3 and 4, it gives a total concept of a 430-year day-year period. And the judgments, chastisements of Israel did not work to bring their heart in mass back to the Lord. And as you run through the 430 days for 430 years and realize that God was actually giving precise information, when you multiplied that, deducted the 70 years they were in captivity, multiplied it by sevenfold using the Jewish calendar countdown, you come out to December the 14th, 1948. Anything stand out of that? It was the first day after Israel was recognized as a nation by the UN, with strange bedfellows in the background allowing them, including Russia, to become a nation. Britain was actually opposed to that move. But again, God's word is so precise. We have people spending X number of hours pursuing things that may be frivolous, pursuing things that may be good in themselves, but no eternal values. God wants our interest so sharp to know him, to spend time pondering his word, that we can go totally confident of his care, support, and direction in our life. Any thoughts? As we look at Daniel 11, 1 to 35, we won't turn there, but again, 135 details given by Scripture ahead of time, fulfilled precisely, that took place as history moved forward. That one is the item there under E, page 2. We are told by historians that when Alexander the Great of Greece was coming in to conquer Jerusalem, the priest from Jerusalem in white robes went out to meet the incoming conqueror to show to him what was prophesied 300 years before the time. And we are told from history, Alexander the Great was so dumbfounded, he spared the city that he was planning to destroy. Cyrus, in Isaiah 44, 28 and verse 45, 1 to 2, he was named by God as a coming ruler that God was going to use. other prophecies that have already taken place. When we look at Daniel's dream, one that Nebuchadnezzar had first, and Daniel was given clarification on it, what is interesting, for many centuries, the four parts of that statue had disappeared. Yet scripture says they will all have to reappear because the stone cut out of the mountain shall crush this entire statue in mass. What has happened in the last few decades? We have seen all four of the main ingredients of that statue of Daniel coming into play. As we watch what is happening there, we see the 10 toes not too far distant. As we look, another place of scripture again, in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 10, we are told about, let's just flip to Zephaniah chapter 3, 10. And all I'm trying to do here is to build your appetite in the trustworthiness and accuracy of scripture already fulfilled. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 10. Therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, unto the day that I rise up to the prey, for my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, the poor upon the mighty nation, even my fierce wrath, for all there shall be barred with the fire of my jealousy. For then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. That is implied that the Hebrew language be reestablished for the nation of Israel. What has happened in recent decades, that has been fulfilled. We look at another aspect, and that is Zephaniah 3:10. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my supplements, even the daughter of my dispersed, shall bring mine offering. If you'd all following news, I just saw an excerpt on the news recently of the dark-skinned Jews now in Israel, the Phoenician Jews. Who and what and where? History tells us that the Queen of Sheba, when she went to search out the wisdom of Solomon, it says that Solomon gave her all her heart's desire. The chronicles, historical chronicles of Ethiopia said part of that was she wanted to be a wife of Solomon. And history would tell she was and bore a son, Prince Menelik. Prince Menelik was raised in the culture of the Jews till he was 18 or 19 years of age. He then went back to take the place of his mother who had died back in Ethiopia. But at this point, he was a believer in Jehovah. It appears at that point, when he returned, there went with him a number of the priests back to Ethiopia. Bloodline of Solomon. As they returned, Solomon was going to send a present along with this Prince Menelik, a replica of the Ark of the Covenant. But it is said by sources that instead of the replica, the priests and Prince Menelik, who were aghast at the backsliding of the Israelites, switched the true with a replica before they left for Ethiopia, and that the Ark of the Covenant went with them to Ethiopia. In 1990, I guess it was, Operation Solomon, as Ethiopia was going down in a revolution, they airlifted many of these Phoenician Jews back to Israel. They were now recognized in Israel as a bloodline, true-blooded Jews. We are told over that same Operation Airlift, the Ark of the Covenant also was transported back to Israel. There appears to be the replica of the Ark and also the Ark. Scripture says more, and we'll touch on that a little bit later. It appears the Ark may be brought into public display somewhere in the future, rapidly increasing the demand for things to happen. A lot of these things we shake our head, is it possible? But when I just caught that article again, these Phoenician Jews, these dark-skinned Jews, now being assimilated into Israel's culture. And realize scripture when it says Solomon gave Queen of Sheba all she wanted. It was nothing new to Solomon to add another one to his wives. Are there any thoughts or questions? I'm just sharing again some of these things to show the precision what's been written. When God says they will bring a present to me from Ethiopia. And suddenly we realize here are the descendants of Solomon, the potential of the ark having come back a little less than 2 decades ago. Scripture is being fulfilled. Are we awake? Some of this is very interesting. Some of it is extremely sobering. Because if you do a search on scriptures on the day of the Lord, that day, the day of Christ, you'll come up with over 100 applications. And when you look at scripture, what those connotations are signifying, it is scary if you don't have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are hard, difficult times ahead for the human race. Any questions or thoughts you have? I enjoy hearing back from you. Maybe you disagree with what I said. I'd like to hear your evaluation. It does appear for them to establish their animal worship, they will need the things that went with it. It is interesting, again, as you research history, where did some of the sacred objects end up? When you read Scripture's designation, when Jerusalem was conquered, it gives a listing of all the objects they took out of the temple back to the heathen country. But there are a number of the sacred artifacts are not included. We are told that Solomon utilized Egyptian abilities to develop a sand-type control of hydraulics. And if you look at scripture again, the precision of it, for the height of those two pillars outside of the temple, one time it gives their height as certain height. Later on, the height of the chapiters and those temple pillars are lower. The sand hydraulics works by the sand being forced out of that, hooked to the floor of the temple, that it could lower the floor to hide artifacts in desperate times. And I researched myself, and sure enough, the height of the chapiters on those pillars outside of the temple changed. There are things hidden in scriptures that we totally miss. But we are told that's why when they carried off the things of the temple, a lot of your most sacred things are not included. As far as the Ark of the Covenant, I believe it's going to be a status. Scripture says, implies the Ark of the Covenant is a talk of Israel for a period of time. It almost has to be the reappearance publicly to do that. But when the Messiah appears, that talk becomes a non-issue. The real one has appeared. Did you have anything farther to share? And your thoughts on the ark? Anybody else? We are told in 2 Thessalonians, he will sit in the temple of God, proclaim himself that he is God. And he will be there. In fact, it's interesting, just in the last 6 months, I started picking up that a lot of your false religions want the temple rebuilt. They want to manifest their, quote, Messiah. And you start to see suddenly, not only the Orthodox Jews want it, it appears Satan is preparing the hearts of men to reach his goal, but it'll only be what God allows and when he allows it. There will have to be something. Its feeling is it could even be the start more like they had in the wilderness wanderings, to start it quick. Though if you do any research in the temple, mount activities, you will find that they have done a lot of homework already with the artifacts needed, preparing the priests. They have discovered a rare anointing oil back in the early 1990s, I guess it was, which is essential. They discovered one of the caves. They will need that to restart it. Exactly when and where and how quick will it come together, we're not sure. But things are developing as we move along in a lot of the global activities. We are living in challenging, interesting, exciting days for those who know their God. Any other questions? Some of these we'll get into a little more later. What I'm trying to do now is to build your interest to search Scripture with a zeal perhaps you never had. Even the Old Testament gets exciting when you begin to see the types and shadows. God, Christ says, He did not come to void anything in the old. He just gave clarification, the application of the new, of the shadows and types. Let's move down into current events and prophecy. We won't get over all this from tonight. We'll pick up the Lord willing 1 week. The alignment of the nations, Gog, Magog, and company. Turn your Bibles to Ezekiel 38 and 39. Again, current events. About 12 years ago, I became very interested in prophecy. And I remember saying very clearly at that point, according to Scripture, keep your eye on Turkey. They will switch allegiance. If you're happy watching current events in the last 6 months, we've seen Turkey has now moved towards the Islamic connection. Are we living in days where Scripture is being fulfilled? Absolutely. Scripture tells there in Ezekiel 38, 39, it says there about this Gog and Magog, different things about what they're going to do. Verse 7, 38, verse 7, be thou prepared and prepare for thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them. My understanding is that phrase means you will arm them. Who is the them? When you look at the listing of the nations, ancient geographical names, with their current names, you're looking at countries like Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, Ethiopia, Sudan, Libya, Germany, Turkey. What have we seen happen in the last decade or two? We're seeing the Islamic nations becoming more and more armed. Russia is the main supplier of those armaments. We are told by Scripture, when they cry peace, peace, then cometh sudden destruction. The framework is coming together, what Scripture has talked about thousands of years ago. But again, the church at large, America, is caught up in prosperity to the point they're and ignorant. A what is not far down the road. When we look at the series we study in the USA, I'd like to show you a lot of applications from the shadow types of Scripture. Our country is hanging on the precipice, ready to fall. We need to get our confidence and faith out of the US unto the Lord God of the heavens. I think we're going to see our nation go down that rapid. It'll be like a dream. That is unbelievable. And we'll touch more on that, some of the reasons why. As we look at this issue, there under current events, prophecy, A, C, the hook is that Islamic powers pulling them into the fray. It does seem like that is taking place. When we look at who is becoming friends with who and realize just this past week in the newspaper, news of a I'd seen. Again, I do a lot of research on the internet, looking up prophetic applications, what is going on. You do not see in the regular news media. We have safe eyes on, and I say is be careful if you're on the internet. But there are things happening you are not reading about in the news media. Just this past week, we looked at what's happening there to the Iranian president and the president of Syria, as our leadership's trying to break them apart. When you look at Daniel chapter 11, Daniel chapter 7, I believe it is, there's some hints in there that the 11th horn could be coming out of the four breakdowns from Alexander the Great going to his four generals. You have four countries. Antiochus Epiphanes came out of that. He seems to be a very clear application, shadow type of the Antichrist. Keep your eyes open. I think we have things happening. We cannot be absolute, but we can watch the details unfolding. I don't think we have a lot of years left what's taking place. That's why I'm saying my lessons being shared here are sobering. But God does not anywhere in Scripture tell us to be fearful. It says, look up, lift up your heads, your redemption is drawing nigh. We are told he will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon him, because he trusted in him. There are just multitudes of scriptures where we understand the heart of God to those that are his beloved. Are we part of that beloved? Is the intimacy with Christ the greatest thing we can that we're cherishing on earth? That all other things are subservient to that relationship? Our time is about up. Is there anything you want to share? Well, I was pulling this out of, Gomer, part of Eastern Germany. And again, some of these, it is some supposition. So I'm not saying this is absolutely accurate. I'm pulling this from some other people's research. But again, this here I'm sharing simply to challenge you to start to dig. Did anybody else have anything else? Steve shared that thought. China's and the armies of the East are developing the things the scripture said. I understand from one resource I had that back in the 90s they did develop a highway coming across China through India, Pakistan, Afghanistan. Excuse me. So that the access to the Euphrates River is pretty well completed to move fairly fast. Scriptures tell us that the Euphrates River will be dried up to make way for the kings of the East. China is now boasting of an army of 352 million men. Scriptures talk about 200 million coming from the East. These things are happening in the last 20 years. Again, I think when Christ says, this generation shall not pass, all these things be fulfilled. Where are you counting from? 1948? You're counting from 1967? How long is a generation? We'll touch a little bit on some thoughts on that. But I think we are the generation that the majority of us will see the return of Christ, not going through the grave. I believe it's unfolding that rapidly. We are told another thing by Christ. It says back in the 70s when they thought it was about all put together, they missed another clear prophecy. The gospel must be preached to all nations or people group. Then shall the end come. What I'm following is they're going through the translations. They were looking at 2025 to accomplish that goal. They are speeding that up because of the extra technology now available. Christ has given some very clear things. When that is accomplished, it's all over. We are living in exciting times. Continue to pray for us as we share and bring back thoughts and questions. And if we don't agree altogether, time will clear the air. Maybe I will have to change. Maybe you will have to change as we continue to watch God's word unfolding. Thank you for your help and attention.